We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at wyxr.org.
Welcome once again to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. We're coming to you tonight from the Powerhouse Arts Center off the square in Oxford, Mississippi. Thank you. Welcome to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. As I mentioned, we're at the Powerhouse Arts Center, just a stone's throw from the Oxford Square. Fine lineup for y'all tonight. Amelia White is here, one of the great songwriters. She has lived all over the country and is now based out of Nashville. Amelia White, she was actually on the show a little while back. So happy to have her back. Also, Proud Hound is here. Proud Hound. They're going to play some blues, some North Mississippi blues, electric roots music. They really go for it. We love them. We look forward to them. Via Bledner is here. Via Bledner has written a book. If you lived here, you'd be famous by now. It is her memoir of time in high school, transferring from the Catholic school she went to from second grade on to this crazy Calabasas high school where all sorts of things go on. It was an eye-opener, very poignant in places, and, of course, hilarious. So, great lineup, y'all. Let's get to it. We love our house band. Please bring them to the stage. It is the Yellow Bushwhackers. Boys!
Nothing's impossible, I have found. For when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, start over again. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for the pleasant trip and pick yourself up.
On the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, start.
be grateful for a pleasant trip and pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again. Work like a soul inspired, feel the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? So take a deep breath, pick yourself up, start all over again. Oh, take a deep breath, pick yourself up, start all over again.
Thank y'all.
Yellow Bushwhackers, y'all, let him hear you, please. Ricky Burkhead, Greg Johnson helping us out over there on the bass, Keon Love on the piano, and up front, Paul Tate, our band leader and arranger, the Yellow Bushwhackers, the best live radio band in the land. Thank you so much. All right, Amelia White, so glad to have you back here with us.
I am honored.
We are delighted, and you always have a beautiful guitar, including today. That just looks like a beautiful guitar.
I call this Chocolate Martina.
Yes. Chocolate Martina. Boy, I wish this was a two-hour show, because I know there's a story there. Love I Swore, the latest album that you've got. With Kim Ritchie, you did that album. I remember that her name from back in the day, so you...
She's amazing.
Yeah, that's beautiful. All right, well, thank you for being here. Also remind you that Amelia will also be in Water Valley tomorrow night at This Is Noteworthy, 7 p.m. show, but we've got her right here on Thacker tonight. Y'all, please welcome Amelia White.
On the streets of Glasgow, I heard someone call your name. Thought about the kiss I'm missing, how the storm hit hard. Wake up halfway hoping that our love's cleaned by the rain. Summer rain that whispered me to sleep. You said, I wish I'd never heard. Caught me by surprise with all those daggers in your eyes. Now I see you shiver like a lost domestic bird, looking for the hand that set her free. Fly, but don't go far. Keep the candle burning, I won't lock the door. Fly, but don't go far. Swore the love I meant, and I still mean the love I swore. As the train pulls from the station, call to hear your voice. It's muffled crackling in and out, far across the sea. If your freedom scares you, we go back to the song sang before you found the open door. Fly, but don't go far. Keep the candle burning, I won't lock the door. Fly, but don't go far. Swore the love I meant, and I still mean the love I swore. Swore the love I meant, and I still mean the love I swore.
Swore the love I meant, and I still mean the love I swore.
too kind. Thank you so much. I am playing songs off this album that produced by Kim. She kind of kicked me in the butt and made me grow a lot and sang harmony all over the record. And I wrote this next song with a great Memphis songwriter named Tom Kimmel. He kind of, it was my first cut in Nashville. He cut it with Sally Barris and Don Henry. And, you know, it was an honor and took me 20 years to feel like I could sing it. So it's called Can You See Me Now? When I get home, everything's wrong. You don't know me. Walk through the door, was I before? Maybe this takes a little time. Bring that ghost to life like you knew me. Watch me reappear in a little while out on the street. People like me seem so lonely. Lost in the crowd, looking around like they've never seen the place. Is that just my face in the mirror? Am I still in here? Maybe half alive. Can you see me now? Between the lost and found is the way I sound, how I come around. I'm the one you should know better. Can you see me now? You told me we appreciate y'all. Really, really great to be back here. I had one of those weeks where my dog is dying. All right, thank you. I believe that something, I'm an optimist, so kind of dark times maybe, but something new is coming. Are you hurting? hoping something new comes from something lost. Happened to our love, the one we've counted on, losing all we knew, burning embers turning blue, embers turning blue. So are you hurting? Thank you so much.
Amelia White, y'all, let her hear you. Great stuff. Thank you so much. As I mentioned, Amelia will be performing in Water Valley tomorrow night. What was it, 7 o'clock show down there? Yep, 7 p.m. Also, she'll visit with us after the show out in the lobby. She mentioned she has a painting out there, and also CD's Love I Swore is her latest release. Thank you so much, Amelia. We'd like to remind you that you're listening to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. You're hearing us on WUMS, University of Mississippi. Also WYXR, Community Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. The stations of Mississippi, Public Broadcasting. The stations of Alabama, Public Radio. WUTC, Community Radio in Chattanooga, Tennessee. WUOT, Community Radio in Knoxville. And KNCE, True Taos Radio in Taos, New Mexico. We love them. Thank you, thank you. Also, we'd like to thank our Thacker backers, Carol Etheridge Family Foundation, Dr. Stephen and Gay Case, the good folks at Delta Magazine, Larry and Michael Johnson Family Foundation, the Mississippi Arts Commission, the Mississippi Hills Heritage Alliance, Pearly Peacock Designs, R&B Fader Foundation, the good folks at Square Books, the good folks at Visit Oxford, Volunteer Mississippi, Wonderbird Spirits, Yagnabatoba Arts Council, we could not do without them, and the good folks at Snooki and Mary Lou Williams Foundation, Water Valley, Mississippi. Our green room sponsor is helping us out, Red Panther Brewing, Cathead Distillery, and a shout out to Mr. Scott Coopwood. Thank you so much. You too can help this show stay on the air. It's been, what, 26, 7 years now? More info at thackermountain.org. Keon Love, y'all. The man. Thank you, Keon. Our next guest is Via Bledner. Her book is called If You Lived Here, You'd Be Famous By Now. True Stories from Calabasas from Flatiron Books. As we mentioned, sort of a fish out of water tale of Via transferring to this swanky high school all of a sudden, and a whole new world and some loneliness associated with it. This book has already become a hit, already been optioned by Netflix, by the aforementioned Kim Kardashian and her production team. Boy, I've waited all my life to say her name on this show. Y'all please welcome Via Bledner.
Good, man.
This book is funny, funny, funny. And again, like we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I may not be the exact target audience for a high school comedy, but I didn't get every single reference, I'll admit it. But man, it is some funny stuff and somewhat surprising. The loneliness I found interesting, and that's maybe not so surprising. It's sort of an Instagram culture. Tell me, and you're lonely anyway when you transfer into a new place, but tell us how that worked for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something everyone experiences. I think it predates Instagram for sure.
Right.
I was in this new place where everyone had connections to Hollywood in extreme ways. You know, there'd be students who'd be absent, out sick for a week and come back with a nose job.
Yeah.
So there was an adjustment period for sure. And I think I was kind of a bit of an anxious teenager. So that only, maybe made
well,
it
and it probably didn't help that you had a fondness for books. My mm-hmm. goodness, you actually liked to read. And so there was probably a reading group of people that read in your high school, I guess, that you gravitated to, right? They were
more
nerdy for other reasons, maybe.
I think I was kind of a private reader. I used to think that if you really love something, keep it close to your chest. No more. I'm kind of a yapper, so. But back then, I was really, I think my parents really the ones who I could talk to about books a lot, and they introduced me to some writers that I really have really had a major impact on me.
Yeah, that you mentioned all this in the book, and in fact toward the end of the book it really jumped out at me. There were several books, In Cold Blood by Truman Capote. She's reading that at age 16. I don't know if you've read that lately. Aside, the movie is great, but that book, it's hard to sleep after you read that. It's truly profoundly scary, is it not? And so there you are.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Smiling Through the Apocalypse, another book from back in our day. Your parents, I guess, had a copy. It's sort of the greatest hits from Esquire magazine. So you had Gay Talese, you're reading all these, and Truman Capote and
mm-hmm,
others.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of folks your age get into music through their parents' record collection, which you also did. But you also got into books through their book collection, is that right?
Yeah.
Now, tell us about your mother. She was a journalist.
Mm-hmm. My mother wrote for People magazine and, major influence on me, of course. I'm very lucky to have, artistic parents. My mother, I mean, when I was like 11 or 12, she took me to see Joan Didion reading in Los Angeles, which was incredible. And I actually got to speak to her, which is like a life-defining, I'm always thinking back to that. It was an incredible moment. And of course, Joan Didion influenced me when I was writing this. I have to mention her as a young woman writing about California.
So. Yeah, you were a big fan of the White Album, I think you mentioned
mm-hmm,
in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And your dad, you have all this in the book. Your parents pull you aside separately almost and tell you, what's going on with your grades? Are you nuts? Your father even speaks to you almost like a teenager. Don't be a,
mm-hmm.
And it works. You kind of start trying to study a little more, right? And you want to get into college.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think what I really did was focus in on my writing. As a teenager, I prioritized reading and writing a little more than I did schoolwork. But I think I've, so I was reading under the desk. But I think that's ended up quite all right.
Yeah, I mean, while I was reading along, I had to stop and think. You were 16-ish, 17 when you wrote this book. Right?
I wrote the bulk of it when I was 19.
Okay. I had just finished drooling when I was 19 and had mastered the art of tying my shoes. I'm thinking the voice sounds so knowledgeable and almost old soul. I hate to use that cliche. And the vocabulary. And then when I got later in the book where you talked about all this stuff you're reading, it made sense. The voice is like I say, it reads older, even though it's total high school hijinks. And now you've sold this thing to Netflix. You did get in college, which was a big thing in the book, the Santa Barbara, and you studied creative writing. How in the world do you end up in Oxford, Mississippi? How does that? Did you think I need somewhere weird to go?
I'm an MFA student at the university here. I love Mississippi so much. Chicken on a stick is one of my favorites. And my best friends have come to visit me here. Two of them are from LA, one's from Florida, and they all love Mississippi too. I mean, every time I talk to them, it's on and on about the gas station barbecue, so.
Chicken on a stick, because in the book, you're kind of something of a health nut. You eat a lot of healthy salads, but now you've discovered chicken on a stick.
Yes, it's open at all hours, so.
That's true. It is 24 hours, which would fall right into your what you love. Also, you've said, I believe it's on your website, that you live in a haunted cottage in Mississippi. What's your address, Via? Where are we going? Tell us where are you? You don't have to tell us where you're living, but tell us the haunted part is interesting.
Yes. Well, it's like 100 years old, the house I'm in. It's actually falling into a ravine, so I need to find a new place, unfortunately. So if anyone knows of anything, let me know.
Well, if you're interested in a shiny new condo, I got you covered. I can tell you that. they're like mushrooms. except not as much fun, right? Yes, there is some drug taking in your high school. There's some mushrooms going on, and everybody's smoking weed. You know, and now it's legal here in Mississippi. Are you enjoying the weed in Mississippi?
I've got a family listening in.
All right. I'm not going to get you to get yourself in trouble. So what happens after Mississippi, you get your master's? Why do I have it in my head that maybe you would like to write fiction? Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you did so well with this memoir essay format, but you really want to write novels.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I think I started out with nonfiction because all the writers I'd been exposed to at a very young age all wrote nonfiction in a very cool and slick gonzo way. But I don't know, I have really felt drawn to short fiction. I like being able to be as absurd or out there as I want. And I'm also very sick of talking about myself when I write.
Something to hide behind. There's also a nice video of you and your dad, and you're singing Crazy by Willie Nelson, and your dad's playing guitar, and your dad, I found, and your mother too, in the book, they're both on you about your grades, and I found that really refreshing. And you sort of listen to them sometimes and then sometimes not, but it sounds like musically and book wise you really have a bond with your parents that maybe a lot of people don't have, especially, you know, folks in high school. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Your dad is, well, now they were so worried about you. What do they think now that you've published this book? It's selling well. It's going to be a Netflix series. What do they think now?
They're very proud of me. Yeah. I mean.
And they signed off on this Mississippi.
Yes. Yes.
They're not terrified.
Yes.
All right. Well, we are delighted to have you here. And anyone who has read the book knows how funny it is. And I encourage each and every one of you. It will remind you of your high school days. Pardon me. And also how things have changed over the years in high school. The really wonderful ways y'all have of cheating on tests and homework is off the charts, mm-hmm. man. And like the invisible ink. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know, now they have ChatGPT, so they're not innovating like we had to. So
now you're thinking, oh, those kids now got it made. Right? We had to come up with invisible ink. Yeah, well, it is wonderful, Via, and you did a great job on it, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And thanks for being here on the show. You're going to read just a little bit for us?
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all want to hear a little bit from it? I'm sure. It is called If You Lived Here, You'd Be Famous By Now, Via Bledner.
So I'm always a little bit nervous when I open this book up again because, You know, I'm 25 now, and I wrote most of this, like I said before, when I was 19. And, you know, you can be, I'm very critical of myself, so I'll be like, oh, I would have done it differently, or, oh, that's embarrassing. But I was recently talking to some friends, and they were just talking about how important it is to be compassionate with your, you know, younger self. And I'm always thinking, oh, like, I hope my future self is proud of me, so I will extend that to my younger self now. This essay I wrote, it's called the One Direction essay, and I had just been reading a ton of Bret Easton Ellis, and of course an American Psycho, Patrick Bateman, as I was going off on these crazy pop album reviews. So I thought that I had to have a pop moment in my book. This is about the boy band One Direction. And also, I now a solo act, Harry Styles, if you didn't know, came out of One Direction. Years later, I ended up seeing him live on tour. I was in the pit, and we made very passionate eye contact. So it was a full circle moment. All right. It was 2010, and the doomsday clock had granted us 5 roomy minutes until mass destruction. The world was still coming down from the cultural high that was David After Dentist. Piranha 3D shocked and awed us all, and an 18-year-old Miley Cyrus had just taken a massive hit of salvia in the presence of a surreptitious cameraman. Our Bieber had a bowl cut, and all our It Girls wore Uggs. Placated by a recovering job market and the deceptive calm of an early Obama presidency, suburban America was relatively comfortable. But the arrival of the sleek, trendy iPhone aligned the internet with social prosperity, introducing both a new mainstream and a strange undercurrent of teenage restlessness. Every 10 years or so, news media slips into crisis mode and asks what could be responsible for tempting America's honor students away from soccer practice and toward hormonal deviancy. Who will be elected scapegoat? But it wasn't 1969 anymore. Blameless was the sex cult. The culprit was a bit more abstract, and it was coming from inside the house. Call it an online era, one equal parts degenerate and wonderful. But we'd been coaxed into cultural stagnation by peanut butter jelly time and auto-tune newscasts. We needed a catalyst, and it had to slip past a mother's radar. It had to be lowbrow yet softcore. Charming. Adorable even. In other words, it was high time for a boy band. It was primal. We required step-touch choreography like we required Air or another installation in the Taken franchise. Cable TV made an honest attempt at satiating us, delivering wholesome sweethearts who sang infectious, squeaky clean pop songs about unnamed girls with indistinct features and quotidian personalities. The Jonas Brothers gave us purity rings and familial camaraderie. Big Time Rush provided 22 minutes of boyish antics and perhaps the most unexpected Snoop Dogg collaboration of the late aughts. But One Direction picked us up from Limited 2 in the family car, slipped us copies of The Care and Keeping of You, and delivered us into a definitively internet teenhood. You know the story. In suspenders and skinny jeans, 5 UK boys burst onto the scene under the guidance of X Factor judge Simon Cowell. Harry, Niall, Louis, Liam, and Zayn charmed the world with their breakout single, What Makes You Beautiful, a song whose topic sentence had something to do with low self-esteem being kind of hot. Whether they were singing to me or you or my cousin or your lab partner, it didn't matter. We were all fashionably insecure. Quirky little 6th grade me in her side ponytail and mustaches or cool t-shirt was ugly and proud. Thank you.
Via Bledner, y'all. One more time for her. Thank you so much. Great job. If you lived here, you'd be famous by now. True stories from Calabasas. From Flatiron Books, Via is going to join us out front and sign copies. It is a really funny read, really wonderful. And best of luck to her. I hope Netflix doesn't mess it up too much. But and good luck with the novel writing. And thank you for coming to Mississippi to study how to write novels. Tip of the hat to you on that, Via. Thank you. We're glad to have you. I'm just I cannot get over that she's eating chicken on a stick, because she's such a health freak in this book, drinking this healthy salads, and all it takes is chicken on a stick at 2 a.m. Well, that's what happened to the rest of us, so it happened to you too. I bet even Proud Hound is known to get a chicken on a stick at 2 a.m. Am I right, guys? Yeah, it's lunchtime for you guys. Hey, they just finished recording and are now mixing some music they made at Jim Dickinson's studio out there in Coldwater, Mississippi at the Zebra Ranch. Yes, the legend continues. We cannot wait to hear that. Let me see, what else do I have for you guys? Oh, they will be at Proud Larry's Saturday night, y'all, 9 p.m. Absolutely free show. No admission for that, so we look forward to that. Also, you can find them at the usual spots on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and right now on the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. Y'all, please welcome Proud Hound.
Thank y'all.
Potato, I'm your brain, you're my
Here we go. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Those first two, those are originals. We figure tonight we're in the birthplace of Mr. R.L. Burnside. We'll close it out with a little Burnside style.
Yeah.
Proud Hound, y'all. Let them hear you. Proud Hound. Como, Mississippi. Proud Hound. Thank y'all, gentlemen. Sounded so great. Oh, R.L. Burnside song. Hey, we've had a great time this afternoon, this evening here. Thank y'all for being a part of it, for coming out on a beautiful, beautiful evening here in Oxford, Mississippi. One more time for all our guests, if you don't mind. Amelia White, fine songwriter. She'll be in Water Valley tomorrow night. Amelia White, Via Bledner. If you lived here, you'd be famous by now. Great, great book. Via's going to join us out front after the show and visit. One more time for Proud Hound. Love them, love them. They should be proud. We'll be right back here next week with our book conference show, y'all. We've got a fine lineup. Preston Lauterbach is here with his book called Before Elvis, about all the African-American musicians that Elvis listened to before he started playing. So that'll be great. We'll also have Elijah Wald, who wrote Dylan Goes Electric, which was the basis for the Bob Dylan movie that's out now. He has a new book about Jelly Roll Morton, about all the great songs from Jelly Roll. And Elijah is a musician, so he's going to play. So we'll have a great lineup, and we'll have all the authors from the book conference will be out in our lobby after the show. So plan to stay a few minutes and visit with all our authors and have a great time here on the old show. We're going to get one more from this great band, y'all. We love y'all. Thanks for being here. We'll see you on the radio.
Boy.
Feeling better, man, that's sad and lonely. And I only gotta do it.
Thacker Mountain Radio Hour's executive director is Lucy Gaines. Our production director is Tim Lee. Our broadcast and post-production engineer is Jeffrey Reed. Our front-of-house engineer is Blake Gardner.
Crazy, crazy about you, baby. So teach me how to love you.